This is the November 21st, 2014 edition of WFAE Talks. I'm your host, Greg Collard, and I'm joined by reporters Ben Bradford and Lisa Wharf. Hello, guys.
Hey. Hello.
Did you catch what I did differently there?
No.
A little bit different intro.
I mean, I heard it. I heard there was a little bit of a difference. Yeah, but I mean, the content seemed to be the same.
Oh, yeah. Well, the first line maybe, but I usually go to...
I'm sorry.
I usually say what's coming up before introducing you all. I just see seeing how close you pay attention.
Right. Not very.
Well, in this program, we'll discuss the Mecklenburg County Commission power struggle. Ben covered that this week. We'll also talk about the number of CMS board members who want to get rid of former superintendent Heath Morrison. Lisa will tell us about that. And finally, a little nugget about the golden nut.
The golden nut.
Fun little story you had this week, Ben.
Yeah.
Let's just go to the Mecklenburg County Commission power struggle, the debate over who should be chair of the commission.
Right. So we're in a unique situation here where the chair has traditionally been, not always, but it has traditionally been the at-large member who's received the most votes. In 2012, that was Pat Cotham, and she was a first-time commissioner, and she became the chair. And then over time, the other Democrats on the commission soured on her. She had teamed up with the Republicans on a few issues, most notably used them to swing support for kicking out
county manager.
County manager Harry Jones. Mm-hmm. And who'd been the longtime county manager there, and that kind of raised some hackles, and the way that she handled it raised some hackles from those Democrats. So they ousted her. They voted her out of the chairmanship and voted in Trevor Fuller, who was one of the other at-large members. And
she was also very outspoken. She wasn't afraid to speak to the media.
Right. She spoke to the media, and there was a lot of discord on there. I mean, it's been kind of a dysfunctional commission for a while. Mm-hmm. You got to remember there's kind of three big issues that the county commission really got some bad looks on. And one was the Department of Social Services. There was some allegations of nepotism, mm-hmm, over there, and some problems with the finances over there. There was, of course, the revaluation of property, or as it's more commonly called, the botched revaluation, yes, of property, and that they had to redo. And then, of course, there was MechLink, which was this agency that the county founded that they started up to handle Medicaid funds for mental health. And they spent $8 million to get it up and running. And then the state very quickly took it away from them. There's all kinds of reasons for that range from politics to performance. But either way, there was already a struggle between the county manager, Harry Jones, at the time, and then the commission. And it all led to...
on top of that, some of their personalities just clash.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so anyway, so it all led to, first of all, the firing of Harry Jones, and then second of all, this other kind of dysfunction. Cotham got the boot. She was still a commissioner because the people, mm-hmm, elected her to be a commissioner, but she was not the chair.
But she was a top vote getter again this time.
That's exactly right.
I think she had a huge amount of appeal across party lines. I mean, at least as far as Republicans, because, you know, for a long time she's sort of paired up with them to get some of the votes she needed. And I was at an election. It was shortly before Election Day. It was a group that had kind of formed out of the Tea Party, and they were very positive about Cotham. Mm-hmm. So,
and she certainly, I'm going to play a soundbite from her. It just kind of made me chuckle a little bit, but she certainly thinks that because of the recent election, it doesn't look like she'll be the chair of it. She gives her reasons for why. She basically says the election results show that people want her to be in charge of the commission.
They want me to, and I will. And I've already talked to the Republicans, and I have their support. So I just need one more vote. I'm not real optimistic, just given the response I've had so far. But, you know, it's okay. I'll just go forward.
Yeah, and so that kind of lays out what we're dealing with right now, which is that Cotham is running again. It's an internal election amongst the commissioners, mm-hmm, and it'll happen not next week, but the week after. And she's been very public about the fact that she's running again. And so this has kind of reignited some of these differences that we saw on the commission. We had George Dunlap, who's another one of the Democrats on the commission, who has really vocally and really publicly clashed with Cotham during meetings.
Called her a snitch.
He called her a snitch to the media. That's right. He did a big long Facebook post, really more of a Facebook diatribe, talking about why he would not want her to be the chair, and he called her a snitch to the media, said he couldn't trust her, all those kind of things. We've had another commissioner, Dumont Clark, has spoken to the Charlotte Observer about how he will, quote, I'm paraphrasing here, but the gist was, I will vote for somebody who I can trust. Mm-hmm. I think that the implication there is that Cotham is not one of those people. So we're seeing these same divisions that we saw last time. And so it's become pretty public. There was a really strange moment during the commission meeting that I covered on Tuesday. It was their last meeting of this session. And Commissioner Vilma Leek was referring to some conversation with another commissioner who just simply said, I would not, according to Leek, said, I will not work with another commissioner if that commissioner is appointed chair. And it was as vague as that, but I think it shows, again, some of this discord kind of coming out and kind of erupting. And she wasn't any more specific, but it was like a strange moment. It was actually in the middle of saying goodbye to the other commissioners who were going to leave the board.
Yeah, I was actually going back because I had not actually heard this story.
Right, because Lisa
aired.
Doesn't listen to my stories. Yeah,
I was reading it online, and I said to Ben, I was like, was this tape during the course of the meeting? Because, I mean, you know, they have a pretty strict agenda, and obviously things veer off of the agenda. But I was wondering how that came up in the meeting, and you answered my question.
Yeah, it was. They were doing the goodbyes for every – and she kind of went off on this tangent about it. So what we're seeing now is that – and there's a few options for how this is going to turn out. Trevor Fuller, who's the current chairman, who placed third in the at-large voting. Mm-hmm. Remember, you vote for three.
Mm-hmm.
He has said that he's basically said he'll run again. He didn't want to say he'll run again, but he's like, yeah, if they want me to, I'll do it again. If they vote for me to do it, I'll do it again.
Accept their nomination.
Yeah, and then there's Ella Scarborough, who's a former city councilwoman, Charlotte city councilwoman. She was the number two vote getter, and I talked to her as well, and she just completely no commented me. Don't want to talk about it, whatever. But she was seen coming. She came out from, it looked like, the closed session where the county had been meeting, and it's certainly, you know, she would be a vote that these people would be seeking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you've got nine people on the county commission. Two are Republicans.
Yeah.
Three are Republicans.
Three Republicans.
Bill Jan. Okay. Three Republicans and then six Democrats. One of them is Cotham. So that's four. And so you've got your other five. And so if Scarborough could be a swing vote too, mm-hmm. or she could decide to run herself, in which case, you know, maybe she would be another option that would make sense, as she's not as controversial as Cotham, but at the same time, she got the second most votes. You know, I will say two things. One is that when I was talking to Fuller, the current chairman, after the meeting, and I was asking him about this, you know, it was an interesting moment. It didn't really make it onto the – getting it onto air, but – you know, I asked him, are you going to run again? And he didn't want to talk about it. And I was like, well, look, I mean, it's, you know, you've said this. And so he's like, well, I think there's just a lot being made out of this. I think it's too much being made out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we finished kind of talking, and he kind of said, you guys, referring to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? And he said, you're making, you know, it really feels like we're kind of making a mountain out of a molehill here to some degree. And my response was, well, you know, you're talking about the person who is going to run the legislature for the county. Now, of course, it's, you know, it's a weak form of government. You've got, you know, everything runs through the county manager, all kinds of things. But this is the person who is both mm-hmm. kind of the head of it, and as he agreed, the spokesperson for it. But he feels like, and I think this is something worth noting, he feels like it's more of a position that runs the meetings, just makes sure that you kind of get through the schedule. And has a little bit more of an administrative function rather than being an especially powerful or especially notable position, or at least that's what he was saying.
Why would you want it then?
In there, right? Well, that's, I mean, and that's the other part of it is that obviously there is a lot of heat around it, and there's a lot of there's jockeying for it and all those kind of things. And I think it's because, you know, I mean, even in the same way that the Charlotte mayor has, you know, limited
sure.
powers. It's the position itself has some prestige. So I feel like that's probably worth saying.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so we'll find out. When will we find out the resolution?
Not next Tuesday, but the Tuesday after.
Okay. Well, Lisa, you were at the CMS board meeting this week. It's the first full board meeting since the ouster of Superintendent Heath Morrison. And board chairwoman Mary McRae, she wanted to make clear that 8 of the 9 board members wanted him out. She did.
And she's not been speaking much.
And it was a 6-3 vote to accept his resignation.
This is why she felt like she had to clarify things, because the separation agreement the board voted on, they voted in favor of it 6-3. And so she wanted to make it clear that actually 8 members of the board thought Morrison should go, but may have disagreed with some terms in the separation agreement. So she started off the meeting this way, had a 4-minute statement that she read. And, so I had been talking with Tom Tate and Paul Bailey, who voted against this. They had just been talking a little bit more about this in the last few days. And Tom Tate says he voted against it because he thought Morrison there should be more nod that he'd been doing good things in the district, and he wanted to see that acknowledged through severance, for example. Paul Bailey, another school board member, said his answer was a little less absolute. I mean, he said, "I was frustrated at the time that we didn't have more information to go on."
He felt like he just had to say vote against it just because he didn't want to.
And he says, later reflecting on it for the last 2 weeks, it was, probably the right decision to make. But, he certainly still has some misgivings about it. So and
then there's Eric Davis, the former school board chairman.
Yes. And he's been the most vocal board member, one of the most vocal board members in this. And he said several times that he's disagreed with the process. That it was not fair to Morrison, that he wasn't, that though he may have been, informed of some of the allegations against him, that it wasn't, sort of a substantial rundown of what happened. And he's been pretty upfront against that. And Mary McRae, the board chairwoman, didn't mention his name specifically, but it was very clear that person who was against it was Eric Davis she was talking about.
When Mary McRae made this announcement at the beginning of the board meeting this week, was there any reaction from Eric Davis?
She went right into the rest of the board agenda from that. And I do have to say that it was kind of unexpected that she was making this announcement, because she hasn't spoken a lot. So I was running a couple minutes late, and I got there at about 6:06. And she had already made the announcement, so I went back during the meeting and got that tape and listened to it. So I don't know what his expression was, but the board meeting certainly went on as normal after that. Now, at the end of the meeting, they have room for school board members to comment.
Mm-hmm.
And so 4 hours later, 3.5 hours later, there were a couple mentions of the whole situation. Rhonda Lennon, for example, said she was very glad that Mary said these things, and that, they are a board united, not a rift among them. But Eric Davis did not say
maybe a little rift.
Well, and it's funny because, we're talking about two different boards really here, mm-hmm. that both are dealing with this internal strife.
Right.
At the same time, I do think that to some extent.
And have dealt with it differently, I mean, this is both, they're one or two employees that have resigned or been fired publicly.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Either way, they've been kind of forced out. But, the other part of it I do think is that they do get their – I mean, I think in terms of their feeling like maybe this is overblown,
mm-hmm.
I think that they do get work done otherwise. Commissioner George Dunlap and his comments, you don't really see him chatting with Pat Cotham or anything like that. But, the first image I started my story with was – Pat Cotham and Trevor Fuller sitting next to each other laughing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you hear about all this discord, but when you look, and Eric Davis did not have anything to really, he was not laughing with folks that night. But, with the county commission, for example, people who publicly have not gotten along, they have to interact in.
They're still at respect
they're
for each
still,
other.
Well, I don't know if they have that. But they certainly do have to interact. And I think that. There are disagreements, and this is a major this is a major division on there. But it also, I don't think, means that the thing is is completely has ground to a halt or anything like
sure.
that.
Okay.
You know, there's still people that are dealing with each other.
All right. Well, on to the next topic.
The most important one.
Yes. You know, sometimes you get press releases, and at first they seem a little bureaucratic or innocuous. And this one, the headline was from the North Carolina Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. And it says, "Autumn brings the fall of tree seed." That's the that's the headline. And all right, well, look at it. Read it a little bit more. It says this autumn, tons of seed from many different tree species have hit the ground in record amounts, and squirrels weren't the only ones looking for it. So
interesting. Well, okay. So I would say this is what we call a terrible press release. That is the kind of thing where, right, I almost didn't read it.
Right.
And then as you're reading
terrible,
through it.
Terrible except for the first two lines of the explanation.
of the squirrels and everything.
Yes.
Oh man,
it's amazing.
No. See that I almost cut out right then and there. But it is kind of interesting. They're talking about this record haul of seeds falling from trees because the weather's been so good. And it turns out there's this program where the North Carolina Forest Service, as their staff is kind of in the course of their duties, or they have time for it, whatever. They go into the woods and they look for tree seeds and they collect them and they bring them back. They send them over to the nursery, to the Forest Service nursery, grow them into seedlings, and then sell them back to landowners. And every part of this is kind of fascinating to me. First of all, the fact that it's been such a good year. You know, I think about the polar vortex last season, and I talked to the head of the Forest Service nursery program, James West, and he said, well, it was late enough, that cold was late enough that it didn't really have any effect, but otherwise it's been relatively mild at the right times and all those kind of things that and it can take a period of 2 years for trees to kind of gestate their seeds, if that's probably not the right word. But anyway, so it's been a very, very good haul. Mm-hmm. They expect to collect by the end of the year 80,000 pounds of tree seeds and, you know, acorns and cones and fruit, you know, mm-hmm. that are seeds, and then they plant them and grow them into seedlings, which then people can buy, and they use them for the one that was highest on the list that they wanted the most of this year was the northern red oak, because it grows fast. It's a fast growing tree. It's good for lumber.
But
there's all kinds of other things on there. Some of them that are just kind of have aesthetic purposes. Other ones that are good for wetlands, you know, mitigation or restoration or like reforesting, or, you know, good for animal habitat. So environmental groups can buy them, or, you know, just landowners can buy them, or, you know, state programs can buy them, all those kind of things.
And there's an interesting competition between the people who work for this agency.
There is
foresters.
An award to be had.
Yes.
And apparently it is competitive. I had both the head of the nursery program kind of laughing about how competitive it gets. You kind of hear them shaking their head about it. And then also the spokesperson who I initially spoke with, he talked about how there was this competition. The award is called the Golden Nut.
That's a great.
And yeah, apparently it gets heated. And they one goes to the best, basically, office that collects the most. The other goes to the county that collects the most. So there are two. This year's awards haven't been given out yet.
Is there a trophy?
There is. Plaques. They give out plaques for it. Yeah, with the winner's name on it and past winners and all those kind of things. So, it's the Golden Nut Award. Who knew?
That's great.
Who knew?
Gosh, I love
it. Just gets better and better. Yeah.
You know, there's some endearing. I like that the people of the State Forest Service are competing like this, too. I don't know. I like that state employees are doing it.
It shows a passion for the job.
Exactly. It's something,
a passion for the plants and the trees.
It's interesting, but it makes me, I don't know why, it just makes me, the passion for the trees. It makes me glad that state employees are into it like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, guys. We wrapped up another one.
Thanks
for all your work this week.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. Take care.